And this afternoon, God's Word comes to us from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 9 and then read through verse 15. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9. What we hear now is God's Word. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Psalter hymnal, to page 62 in the back section. And on the bottom half of that page is Lord's Day 51 with question 126. I will ask the question. You may respond with the answer. This is from page 62, Lord's Day 51. What does the fifth request mean? We are moving on in our study of the Lord's Prayer as we continue to look at that prayer petition by petition, now up to the fifth petition of the prayer. We have seen that although we often take the Lord's Prayer rather lightly on our lips, it is not an easy prayer to pray. And we truly understand what the various petitions mean. The prayer obligates us to act and to live in certain ways. We see that the prayer in this second set of petitions talks about the most basic needs of life. Last week in the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for our very most basic needs, that which we need to sustain us physically. After that fourth petition, we move on to the fifth petition, and again, the most basic, fundamental spiritual need we have, God, forgive us of our sins. That's what we're going to talk about today. The beauty of the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. And what it means for us, what it means for us to pray this prayer and how it obligates us as a recognition of that forgiveness to be willing to forgive others as well. Forgive us for our debts. It's a prayer that God would forgive our sins. And I think that's where we have to begin. Once again, with the reality of what the prayer is talking about. To pray, forgive us our debts, acknowledges that we do owe a debt to God. Acknowledges that we are sinners. The world would have us ignore sin. Because sin implies some type of absolute standard that can be applied to everyone. But the world has no use for absolute standards. Oh, if something works for you, that's just fine, but it doesn't work for me. If this makes you feel good about yourself, that's okay, but don't make it a standard for me. But when we talk about sin, it speaks of a holy, righteous standard from which we have fallen short. The world ignores the concept of sin. The idea of absolute truths, and rather deals with situational ethics. Whatever works for you is fine, but don't press your understandings of truth upon me. The world not only ignores sin, but if it does recognize some fallenness around us, it redefines sin. You don't find that word showing up very often in the newspapers. You don't find the word sin showing up very often on sitcoms in any serious type of way. The world redefines what we mean by sin. It doesn't talk about disobedience. It talks about children expressing their feelings. The world doesn't talk about the murder of the unborn. It talks about pro-choice. Who wouldn't want to be pro-choice? The world doesn't talk about lying, but it speaks of misrepresenting the facts, not having our facts quite straight. The world doesn't talk about homosexuality as an abomination, but speaks of committed, loving, same-sex relationships. And we are bombarded with this. Again and again, sin is redefined. It is no longer an offense against God. It is just the way you are. It's a character flaw. And who would blame us for a character flaw? We all have them. When we take this prayer on our lips, forgive us our debts, God, forgive our sins, we are acknowledging there is such a thing as sin, and we have committed it. Rather than letting ourselves be sucked into the world's terms, we go back once again to the biblical terms. Jesus in verses 14 and 15 refers to our sin as trespasses. Trespasses. Children, you know what a no trespassing sign is. Maybe sometime you'll be walking along the street and you see a house that's kind of broken down, and there'll be a sign in front that says, no trespassing. That means you can't go there. It isn't safe for you to go there. It isn't good for you to go there. To trespass is to go someplace we should not go. That's the word Jesus uses to describe sin. A trespass. To go beyond the boundaries. Often a no trespassing sign is put up, and there's tape around the place to keep you out. To go beyond the boundary is to trespass. When you're within the boundary, when you're saved, everything's fine. But if you go beyond the boundary and you trespass, you put yourself in danger. What a beautiful biblical word for sin. God has given us His law as the boundary. God has given us His law, and He says, as long as you stay within this law, you will be safe. You will be blessed. You'll walk in the paths of righteousness. But when you trespass, when you go beyond the boundary, you place yourself in danger. That's one of the beautiful biblical pictures of sin. It is not safe to trespass. We put ourselves in danger, not only physically, but spiritually as well. Jesus, in the prayer, uses the word debts. The prayer is, forgive us our debts. Now, children, maybe you don't know what debts are, but your moms and dads know what debts are. If you have bought perhaps a car or a house or some other big purchase, you go in debt for that. That means we owe something. We owe something to someone else. That's what a debt is. And God uses that word debts to describe our sins. That we are in debt to Him when we sin. We owe God righteousness. We owe Him holiness. But we don't give Him that. And so we go in debt. And worse than being in debt, we go in debt with no way to get out. At least in our lives, we can eventually pay off our cars or pay off our mortgages. If we work hard enough, we can pay the debt. When we talk about our sin as a debt to God, there's no way we can pay it. There's nothing to do that we can do. We're incapable of offering God the perfection that He requires and desires from us. We recognize the reality of sin. It is a trespass. It is to place ourselves in danger. It is a debt that we cannot pay, but we owe to God. And this picture of sin recognizes how serious the problem is. That sin is not just the things that we do, but we have a sinful nature. We sometimes ask the question this way. Are we called sinners because we sin, or do we sin because we are sinners? Now that's not just a play on words. It's an important question. Are we called sinners because we sin, or do we sin because we are sinners? If we answer with the first, we're called sinners because we sin, then we tend to view our sin simply as individual acts. Just like if I rob one time, I become a robber. If I lie one time, I become a liar. My sin is a few things that I do. When we recognize the second, that we sin because we are sinners, we recognize the depth of our fall, that our very nature has fallen, and everything that comes forth from us, even the very best of our works, are tainted with sin. We sin because we are sinners. It's not simply a matter of doing this or that wrong, but our heart is at the issue. Our heart is at enmity with God. Now some would say, haven't believers had their sins forgiven? Do believers still have to pray this prayer? Because after all, we confess, and we heard again this morning, Jesus forgives our sins. Why would we take this prayer on a believer's lips? Well, our confession helps us with that. When it says, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, not that we were, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Yes, we know we have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ fully and completely, but we are not yet completely sanctified. We still do those things that trespass. We still do those things that are an offense against God and need to ask for forgiveness for them. It is a prayer for believers. Jesus was teaching His people how they should pray. And He teaches them, you need to pray, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. The totalness of the sin, the fact that everything we do is tainted with sin, our hearts are fallen before God, shows us the desperate condition and the huge need that we have, and highlights the completeness of God's forgiveness that He gives. God forgives our sins. He no longer holds the debt against us. Now, God doesn't simply say, well, you owe me a huge debt, I'm just going to ignore it. He doesn't do that. God no longer holds the debt against us because someone else pays the debt for us. God does not ignore sin. God does not simply wink at sin and turn the other way. But God's justice must be satisfied, as our confession will say, either by ourselves or by another. And the glorious truth in forgiveness is that God has sent another to make that satisfaction, to pay the debt on our behalf. God would send His own Son, Jesus Christ, to come and pay the debt for us. He does not ignore our sins. No, our sin is punished, but not upon us. The punishment is removed from us and placed upon Christ. And we are given the forgiveness because of what He has done. The beauty of this prayer. Don't hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. And God answers that by sending His own Son, offering up His flesh and blood that we can know forgiveness. That we can know forgiveness totally and completely. All of our sins washed away. The sins of our inner thoughts. Those sins of greed in our heart. Those sins of anger in our soul. Those sins of lust in our mind. All of our inner thoughts washed and cleansed by Jesus Christ. God forgives sinful thoughts through Him. Our spoken words. When we say things we know we should not say. When we speak evil against a brother or sister in the Lord. When we speak evil against our God or misuse His name. God forgives our spoken sin. He forgives the words that we say. When we open our mouths in anger to our spouse or a lack of patience to our children and we turn to God and we say, we were wrong and God forgive us. He forgives our spoken words. When we have said things that are a trespass, that go beyond the boundaries that God has set. He forgives the words that we say. He forgives the words that we don't say. When we know that we should have opened our mouths for the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel. For those times when it seemed there was an opening to share the truth about who God is, and rather than declaring His praises, we clamped our mouths shut and did not give Him praise and glory. God forgives us for the things we do not say. When we should have brought Him praise. When we should have given Him glory. God forgives us even when we are silent bystanders as His name is being misused. He forgives all of our sins. The sins of our thoughts. The sins of our words. The sins of our deeds. Those places that we go that we know we should not. Those things that we do with our hands that we know are an offense against God, that are trespassing. God forgives the deliberate choices that we make not to follow in His ways. He forgives even the secret activities, those sins that we think are known only to us and to God, He forgives. The glory of God's forgiveness. Forgiving our thoughts, forgiving our words, forgiving our deeds. And not because we were so great. And not because we had earned it. And not because we deserved it. But our confession puts the emphasis exactly where it should be when it says, because of Christ's blood. Don't hold against us, poor sinners as we are, the evil that clings to us. Because of what Christ has done. We don't declare the glory of God's forgiveness and say, well, I earned it. God owed it to me. He really should have forgiven me. No, we confess nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. The completeness of God's forgiveness is not because we have earned it. It is not because of our worth, but because of the surpassing worth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful petition in the prayer. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And as fundamental as it is, and as beautiful as it is, I often think it is the most misunderstood of the petitions in the prayer. You'll notice it's the only petition that Jesus immediately says more about. He gives the prayer, and then right after that he says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's the only petition that Jesus goes on to give a brief explanation for. And that explanation he gives seems to make God's forgiveness of us conditional upon our forgiveness of others. When he says, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is that what Jesus means? That really our forgiveness is conditioned upon what we do. That we'll feel better about ourselves if we forgive others. I heard a lecture this past week of discussing how a certain important person was going to feel better about themselves, give up the anger in their hearts. And they said they managed to feel better because they chose to forgive someone else. You see, forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness is the key. But not our forgiveness of others. God's forgiveness of us. That's the key. So what does Jesus mean when he says, if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you? Well, as always, when we come to a text that seems difficult to us, we compare Scripture with Scripture. I think one of the best commentaries on this particular section of Scripture is later in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus tells the story, what we sometimes refer to as the story of the unmerciful servant. Remember that story, children? There was a man who owed someone else millions of dollars, and he couldn't pay. And he went to the person who he owed, and he said, I owe you this money, and I can't pay it. And the man said, I will forgive the debt. I'll forgive everything you owe me. Later, someone else came to that man who owed all the money, who owed him just a couple bucks. And the one that owed the little said to the man who owed a lot, he said, I owe you the money, but I can't pay you. And the man who owed the lot said, take all his money, throw him in prison. I don't want to have anything to do with him till he's paid all his debt. He demonstrated. He did not understand forgiveness. He had been forgiven everything. And yet held something against someone who owed him only a little. No, our forgiveness is not the ground of God forgiving us. Our forgiveness of others is the evidence we understand God's forgiveness of us. Again, God is the one who takes the initiative. He is the one who comes and forgives all of our sins. And then as evidence that we understand that, we will forgive others. If we don't forgive others, it is evidence we don't know that God has ever forgiven us. We don't understand the glories of forgiveness. Our confession says, forgive us just as we are fully determined as evidence of your grace in us to forgive our neighbors. God, forgive us that we might evidence the fact that we know your forgiveness of our sins, because we owed God everything. And yet so often we hold grudges against those around us. Our forgiveness is to be modeled on God's forgiveness of us. He forgives us completely. God doesn't hold a grudge. And yet how often we like to to hold a grudge against someone who has wronged us. God forgives us willingly whenever we ask, whenever we turn to Him in prayer. He is ready and willing to forgive. When anyone comes to us asking for forgiveness, we must be ready and willing to forgive as evidence that we know God's grace in our lives. God forgives any and all of our sins, even the big offenses against Him. He is ready to forgive. And yet so often we will hold the smallest thing against those around us. When God forgives, He consciously forgets our sin. The Bible uses different pictures to describe it. God casts our sin behind His back. God puts our sin in the depths of the sea. He does not remember our transgressions anymore. When we forgive, we are required not to bring up the offense again to the person who we had the offense with, to anyone else, or even in our own minds. And you say, that's impossible. You're right, it is impossible. Without the work of the Holy Spirit. Without God actively working in our lives, without God bringing that evidence to fore within us, our forgiveness of others will be a demonstration. God is at work. His Spirit is conforming us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. And we are, by His grace, able to forgive. So I guess the question we have to wrestle with this afternoon is not so much the first half of the petition. We like praying that. Lord God, forgive us our debts. Are we honestly praying the second half of the petition? As we also have forgiven our debtors. If you know the forgiveness of God, if you know He has forgiven all of your sins, all of your iniquities, all of your shortcomings, all of your trespasses, and continues to do so, who are we to hold anything against a brother or sister in Christ? If you are holding a grudge, if you are holding anger in your heart toward a brother, if you are unwilling to forgive, where is the evidence that God is at work in you? It's a hard prayer to pray. Not one that we casually take on our lips, but one that arises from the heart of the believer who recognizes that left to myself, I would never pray this prayer. I would ignore my sin, I would rename my sin, and I would never forgive anyone else. But when God is at work, when He has changed that heart of stone to heart of flesh, He allows us to begin to pray the prayer honestly and truly, recognizing His forgiveness of us and strengthening us to evidence that in our forgiveness of others. May God's Spirit be at work so we can pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we love to talk and sing about the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. How many times in our personal prayers, either praying the Lord's Prayer or in our free prayers, we say, "And God, forgive us our sins." And the joy of knowing that You hear that. And You answer. But how hard it is for us to forgive others. Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, work in our stubborn hearts. Break down our pride, our defenses, and allow us to truly evidence your grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sins in the way that we treat those around us, in the way that we freely, willingly, and completely forgive any small offense compared to what you have forgiven us. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.